Hey, America.
Start listening now.
So, Sam.
Hey, Danny.
I'm glad to say that I was a little bit busy with a little Thanksgiving thing on Sunday, but I was able to see Jesk.
Oh, nice.
Like you told me.
Oh, good.
I was able to catch up on all of the things that I wasn't watching live.
What do you mean?
Would you?
Like Jessica Rabbit and Jessica Alba, Jessica Sarah, comma, Parker.
I feel like Jessica Jones. I feel like you missed the point?
No, I got that whole... I watched all four.
Cut to the music.
Well, hello, and welcome to 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the world's leader in racist uncles. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Hi, everyone. I'm waving. Why am I waving? That's not how this works.
They're watching us right now.
If I wave into the mic, they can hear me.
Okay. There it is.
Well,
don't worry. We'll Twitch stream this later.
Yeah. Later.
Later.
Not live.
Not live.
Somehow later.
Yeah. We have a couple of things to talk about. Jesk, Junior Eurovision,
yes.
As I've been informed I was supposed to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You missed it.
Wrapped up with Poland as winner in a row, number two.
Yeah, so, first time we've had a repeat winner.
Yikes. We will get to that. I don't know why I said yikes. we'll get to that after we have a healthy amount of news, since we haven't covered news in a good 2 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
What's first on... What's first coming into the wire in the newsroom?
Well, coming in just this morning, at least in our time zone, we have got our third name for the competition. So joining Hoover Phonic for Belgium and Blas Cantó for Spain, we've got Victoria for Bulgaria.
Victoria forever till the end of time.
At least until the end of May.
That's right. I'm really excited for this. She seems like a really good choice. I think that we're 3 for 3 on really intriguing artists now.
I agree.
We are off to a really good start.
I think so too. Like I'm a little bit biased towards the Bulgarian delegation. I worked with them for 2 years. Got a lot of friends on the delegation. So just to see them one coming back to the competition at all, which is always just like woo.
Yeah. Well, welcome back.
Yeah.
Again, Bulgaria.
Absolutely. But then to see them coming back with an artist who is young and really really interesting. She's got a really cool point of view, but she also has a little bit of TV musical competition experience. She's an X Factor alum, so she came in like 6th place or something like that on the X Factor in 2015, but she's had a couple of really cool singles since then. I highly, highly recommend you check out some of her stuff. It is on YouTube. But yeah, so we have 3 artists down, 38 to go.
38 to go, that's right. The field is set now.
Yep.
We'll keep it going. We'll see if the Baltic states disappoint you yet again, Eric.
We'll see. I made the opinion that they were losing it, so I need them to continue to do so.
Only to confirm. Yeah. This podcast just got the real truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, yeah, we have 41 countries, same as last year. Mm-hmm. However, we do have Bulgaria coming back. We also have Ukraine coming back. Ooh. after what was her name? I'm sure I'll remember in a few minutes, but we have a couple of countries coming back, which means, unfortunately, we have a couple of countries that are no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're there. They're in Europe. They're just not doing
Europe. Yeah, they haven't just like blinked out of existence or anything
like
that. They didn't get snapped.
They went up to a farm in northern Europe.
Yeah. Upstate Europe.
Aww.
No, it's playing. It's happy.
Just have a montage of a couple of countries.
With your grandparents.
Oh, no. A montage to Sarah McLachlan's Angel. Just like the outline of Hungary. And it's slow zooming. In the arms of the angel. That's it.
Montenegro superimposed with really, really sad puppy eyes.
Fading in, yeah.
Oh, God.
We just have to play like a slow-mo shot of Mama by Sunstroke Project.
Oh,
kind of like the color is sort of drained out of it, and they're just like stomping their feet, but really slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Moldova's still in it, dude.
I know, I'm just teasing. But
don't scare me like that.
What do you know?
Don't scare me like that.
Oh, you haven't heard.
Don't
Moldova's
tell me.
In this here.
Oh, so there's still hope for Sasha Bognevov. All right.
No.
Yeah. Oh, God, you guys don't know about Sasha Bognevov yet.
I don't know what you just said.
Oh,
at all.
You have such a wondrous trip ahead of you.
Oh, boy.
You should tweet about it. Oh, and speaking of which, we have social media.
Yes, we do.
I always seem to forget to tell you guys about. Sam is going to tweet about whatever nonsense she just talked about in a couple of seconds, I am sure.
I'm sure.
ESC Insider on Twitter.
That's my personal account.
Eric's on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter.
Eric is tweeting.
Eric is tweeting because I am tweeting. Eric B. Tweeting is my full name.
But we're also soon going to have a brand spanking new website. Ooh. Nice and shiny.
By the time you hear this, there should be a new website. So check that out, 12pointsfromamerica.com. If there isn't a new website, but you would like there to be a new website, you can email us at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can also check us out on our podcast accounts, 12pointsusa at both Facebook and Twitter.
Nice.
Regardless of whether we have a new website up and running or not, we do have other news. We got a new logo.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
It's shiny.
That's very
it's
shiny.
Red, white, and blue. Proud to be an American.
Let's never do that again. That was good. That was a one-time thing.
Well, let's go the other way. Let's go to the America of Eurovision, Australia.
Yay.
We have news from Australia, too. And boy, oh boy.
So happy. Yep, we are getting more and more names in for the Australian National Final. Eurovision Australia Decides, which will be held on February 8th.
Australia Decides.
So,
it's Sophie's choice, but for Australia.
Anyway.
So joining Vanessa Amorosi and Casey Donovan, we've got...
That's what happened.
Yeah, what?
They just get murdered. That was what Sophie's Choice was about.
Oh. Yeah.
So whoever doesn't go through in the Australia National Final.
They join Montenegro and Hungary in the farm upstate.
Oh, mm-hmm. Add them to the montage. Got a long-running list.
All right, moving on.
They don't know the names of the people who are in the National Final yet.
I'm going to tell you. Thank you, Wikipedia. No, so joining Casey Donovan and Vanessa Amorosi, who were announced a couple of weeks back, we have Mitch Tombo, who was on a very recent edition of Australia's Got Talent, and the performance artist, singer, songwriter, actor goes by the name of Iota. We best know him as the Doof Warrior himself.
The Doof Warrior from Mad Max.
Oh, my God. I had a conniption when I realized that the Doof Warrior is going to the National
You're
final.
Just
going to
be disappointed, though, because he's not going to have the flamethrower guitar.
I know, he's going to come up with some sappy ballad and break my heart, and I know.
If that song sucks, it's going to be the end of this show.
I'm just going to have a flipping meltdown.
We'll see.
It's, boo. Rolling on to another national final. Since our last news wrap-up, we have gotten names for Estonia's Eesti Laul, the lineup for their national final. Which
sponsored by Estee Lauder.
Ooh.
How have they not jumped on this?
I don't know. There aren't enough red doors. I
need consultant money.
Or is that just Claiborne?
I don't know. Anyway,
no, that's Elizabeth Arden.
Oh wow.
Wow, I'm so off.
Anyway,
wow.
We have three solid.
I mean, we got a lot of really solid ones, but like
more solid than our jokes.
Yeah,
much more.
Yeah, and my cosmetic references. So we have a return to Eesti Laul for Laura, who we know best from her previous Eurovision participations with the songs Verona and Let's Get Loud. Gotta love her. Hasn't made it to a final yet for Eurovision, so let's hope that maybe third time is a charm.
Hmm. Well, she's got to get past Estee Lauder first.
Other names that at least jumped out to me, because I've been an Eesti Laul mega fan for the last couple of years. Rasmus Randvi, who I adore. He had a couple of really great songs in Eesti Laul's recent past, including ones called Dance and This Love, and This Love is a jam, so definitely.
Oh, by Maroon 5.
Yeah, it's my favorite Maroon 5 song.
Is it better than that?
I think so.
Okay, nice. Good.
But my another thing that made me squee when I got the news, there's a band out of Estonia called Traffic, formerly lead guitarist or bass guitarist, Stig Resta, who we all know and love as multiple singer and songwriter for Estonia at Eurovision, but this is the band that he kind of got big on. Well, their song Se Paya back in 2009 was the song that like really, really got me into Eesti Laul in the first place, and they've come really, really close to making it to Eurovision. They haven't quite yet, but we know that this year they've got a song co-written by Stig Resta and Victor Krohn.
From last year.
So they've got a pedigree. So these songs have not been released quite yet. They will be in the next couple of weeks. So we will see how that is and how sorely I will be disappointed.
Is Victor Krohn Storm? Was that Stormlight? Mm-hmm. Storm Like These! That's him? All right.
Yep, that's exactly him. Like that, Danny.
I get him and the Lions guy, the Run With The Lions guy mixed
up. That's Lithuania.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Viklenko? What's his name?
Clark?
Yuri Buchlack, yeah.
Buchlack-Fancy. Good. I'm learning.
You are.
Aww.
You know, it's hard to keep the, you know, the attractive Baltic gentleman.
That's true. Any Baltic man with a square jaw, they all blend into one.
Ooh, that image.
we'll be right back.
We also currently, at this moment, don't have news about Melody Festivalen, but by the time you're listening to this, you'll know more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
So glad we told you that.
Any last minute Melfest predictions that we can embarrass ourselves with?
Yeah, Bjorn Ulvaeus shows up in a hot air balloon, but it's because he's wildly off course. That's it. They're like,
well, I can't top that.
He enters the stage on like a rope ladder.
I would
and people
really
are like,
good
special
money for
guest,
that.
Bjorn Ulvaeus. And he's like, I didn't know. And then he starts humming like chess. That's it.
I got lost on my way to Luleå. Where am I?
Mm-hmm. And we have news from Eric. If you remember that woman's name?
You're going to have to be way more specific.
You remember the Ukrainian singer. You know, the person that was...
Oh, yeah. I think it's... Maruv Watch! It's time for Maruv Watch.
That's right. Maruv is back, and we actually have information about her.
Oh,
she's
yes.
doing things.
Yep.
She's got a new single out.
Things are happening in Maruv world, and we are here for it.
Yeah, got a new EP out called Hellcat Story, and she's been dropping singles like every week for the last couple of weeks.
It's been a slow drip. Slow, sexy drip.
We've been speculating here that what if Russia picked her up? Like, what if she actually was, like, selected by Russia to go to Eurovision this year?
That'd be
I would not rule that out.
A wild
given
development.
Given her recent award.
Yes,
yeah.
not a 0% chance here. Mm. That's going to be my prediction.
For Melody Festivalen?
Yes.
That would be a coup if she just showed up at Melfest for no reason.
Take that, Margaret.
Take that, Margaret.
There's a new Eastern European damsel in town. And by town, I mean Stockholm.
I do think that would get Sweden out of their televote funk. Send Maruv.
Oh my god, yeah.
But yeah, Maruv's got a new, most recent song as of this recording is called Don't You Waste My Time. And it's
very Maruv.
Oh, yes.
Maruv is in the heart, as they say.
If you fell in love with Maruv through her aborted song for Eurovision last year, then you will enjoy this one. This one is quite along the same lines.
Right up that siren song alley.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, that was Maruv Watch.
Maruv
Watch. The more you know.
In other news from Eurovision alumni, we actually, here in the United States, played host to Surrey. Everybody's favorite.
Surrey!
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite non-Maruv.
That's not true.
You know what? Speak for yourself, man.
I have a lot
awesome.
More favorite non-Maruvs than Surrey.
Am I on that list?
Could be.
Ooh.
Anyway, she was sporting her pixie cutness in New York.
She was, and she actually has a show in Boston coming up pretty soon as well. It looks like she will be performing at Boston University College of Music or something like that on December 4th. So if you happen to be in the Boston area, check that out, because our Eurovision family, they come over to the U.S. so rarely. It's wonderful to see them here, wonderful to support acts and see them up close and personal and let them know how much we love them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in the Boston area or can get out there, December 4th, check Surrey's calendar on Facebook and whatnot. She's at Surrey Official. It's Surie. And tell her how awesome she is from us.
Don't rush the stage, please.
No. Do frickin' not.
While it is established she knows how to handle it, please do not do so.
Yeah. That was my first Eurovision watching, and that was a development. I was like, is that normal? Sam was like, no.
Well, in the last couple of years ago, I was like... Kinda has been. Yep.
We should we play a bit of Storm?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
do
it.
I heard they don't last forever.
They don't.
I'll have to confirm it, though.
We play the song on the loop, it could potentially last forever.
Hmm.
But I've heard it could break a man like this.
Ooh.
Oh. Derek, play the correct Storm.
Have a little bit of potential news, not necessarily for Eurovision 2020, but maybe possibly if the stars align for Eurovision 2021.
I don't know what this is. What is this?
we have rumors out of the Andorran national broadcaster that they might want to dip their toes back in the pool.
Yes!
Yeah, that we may actually have the return of Andorra, which is, for as far as I can tell, the only Eurovision participating nation never to make it to a final.
Huh.
They've never performed on the Saturday Night Show. They've made it to the semifinals, but haven't busted through, which is a shame because they've had some great stuff.
What about, like, Liechtenstein?
Never participated, which is a shame.
Okay. So, did they never compete in years where they didn't do the semifinal thing?
No, they start, yeah. They were a relatively late addition to the Eurovision family. They only appeared for the first time in 2004. So that was, I think that was actually the first year that semifinals were even a thing. So they haven't had a Eurovision life pre-semis. The best that they've ever done was a 12th place in the semifinal in 2007 with the song Salvan Yamon by Anonymous. We still don't know who those guys are.
They just showed up and sang.
Yep. But it was
Banksy.
Oh my god.
Well, this is just like Malta competing. I always want the tiny countries to come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are welcome to the party.
I'm thrilled to see that they're even considering a return to this because, yeah, the more the merrier. And they sing in Catalan half the time, most of the time.
Yes.
They actually sing in Catalan.
I was like, invite the Basque country in, too.
Ooh.
I want Wales. I want Wales and Scotland. I want everyone. I want everyone in here.
Well, this is where Junior comes in.
Yes.
Maybe not for the Basque country because, I mean, Spain is just Spain
at
this point.
That's not
going to
happen, yeah.
But we got Wales.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the future we'll get Scotland at Jesk. Mm-hmm. Anyway, before we really do turn to Junior Eurovision 2019. We do want to say goodbye to another member of the Eurovision family. This week we had the news that Eduardo Nascimento, who represented Portugal in 1967, passed away this week. He was 76 years old. Represented Portugal with the song O Vento Mudou, The Wind Changed. From what I can tell, from what my research does, Eduardo was the first black male singer to perform at Eurovision. He was born in what is now Angola, that being part of the sort of Portuguese Lusosphere, and he moved to Lisbon and became a singer and sent to Eurovision in 1967, broke some barriers, didn't do incredibly well at the competition, but the song is still very much remembered fondly. So, Eduardo Nascimento, Godspeed, my friend.
Godspeed.
Adeus. E o vento mudou e ela não voltou. Sei que ela mentiu pra sempre fugiu. Vento, por favor, traz-me o seu amor. Que eu vou morrer, serão mais a ter.
That brings us to our main topic of this show, which is Junior Eurovision. We just had a Junior Eurovision. The youths were at it again.
Yeah. It was a Eurovision I could fit in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Super. Mm-hmm. It's the most adorable Eurovision there is.
That is objectively true, though.
Yeah.
Except for, like, what, like, Eurovision Dance Contest? What is that one called?
Eurovision Young Dancers.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is also pretty cool.
Is that marginally cuter?
No.
I mean, teenagers.
Ah,
early
dumb.
20s.
Dumb.
Ah, peers. Who needs them?
I want 10-year-old Kazakhstani kids killing it.
Well, have I got a show for you.
So, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you are clearly a fan of Eurovision. Might not be a fan of Junior Eurovision, but Poland won.
Mm-hmm.
Poland won rather handily, but not by too much, in a not far off second place. Kazakhstan
was
second.
Yeah,
so.
Which they must be over the flipping moon about. Yeah, because they didn't come in necessarily as highly tipped favorites as their counterparts the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to come in second, but you saw their show and they put a lot into it.
They really did, and that kid can just sing.
He can build.
Now do paint a word picture for me. Mm. I did not watch Junior Eurovision.
Shame.
What was
shame?
What was Kazakhstan's presentation like?
Everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
Fireworks.
All of the above.
Dancing hippos?
Maybe.
Shadow,
there was a lot going on.
Shadow puppets, dancers dressed as birds,
birds dressed as dancers.
Yeah. Costume change into a jacket that is based on the Kazakh flag, so that sort of sky blue and gold thing going on. Curtains and dancing and...
All in 3 minutes?
All in 3 minutes. This performance had everything.
It was a Stefan New York club.
Oh my god, yeah.
Good. What about what
Junior
then...
Eurovision's latest runner-up is Armanyan Kama.
One of the things that we were worried about last week was whether or not a lot of these singers could belt these high notes and do these impressive vocal gymnastics that they were doing in the studio versions. Did we get disappointed?
Well, Eric,
not a lot.
Yeah, Eric, I'm going to let you take this because you have a pretty good ear for melody, being sort of a music dude.
Music boy!
I'm music boy!
So what was it like?
To enjoy.
Now, Poland didn't have anything crazy showstoppery vocal-wise for them.
No. I mean, it was just a very
straightforward,
polished
song.
Polished, if you will.
It was the disco ball suit that really sold it for
Yeah,
me.
talk about mm-hmm. your polish right there. Yeah. She was glittery as hell.
Yeah. Overall, I didn't hear a ton of missed notes. I was expecting more. It just seemed like once you hit the stage, there are going to be some issues here and there. There was one sort of payoff ish note towards the end of Spain's song that was a little bit off, I thought, but holy cow, she recovered. And by the end, I'd kind of forgotten. Raise Your Voice, Serbia, it was last in the running order, but we all really enjoyed
that
song,
I recall. That was our second?
She was a bit pitchy. Which was too bad. But Ireland was great. I was thinking of the other really wild vocal things. Spain was 99% phenomenal.
Yeah.
We, after watching that, we were convinced that, like, that's it.
Yeah,
like,
that they had it in the bag.
That is not going to lose.
But where did they come in? Like, sixth?
Third.
Spain?
Third.
Which is
good.
Still exceptionally
okay.
good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's their first time in junior in a while, right?
Yeah, since, I want to say 2006. Let me double check that for you there.
All right.
Let's see. Spain in the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Yep, they were in it from 2003 through 2006, and then they stopped until this year.
Well, third place in your first time back is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And honestly, they've got a heck of a track record. I mean, Spain, in their five appearances, the lowest that they've ever come is fourth.
Jeez.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Yeah, that's a solid track record that they were able to uphold.
Got it locked in. I've been noticing a country either has it locked in Eurovision or locked in for junior Eurovision. It doesn't tend to be
really
shared between
little.
The two.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
Netherlands didn't do too bad.
Netherlands came in fourth.
They really liked that very poppy, very... It's a pretty boy singing a nice song kind of thing.
He got a little bit better at dancing.
Sure.
Because
he
only
wants
to dance with Yao.
Yeah.
With Yao Ming.
Yeah. I mean, don't we all, really?
It
seems
like
an admirable change. Like
7'7".
Carla, Bim Bam Toi for France, coming in fifth place, which... We had tipped as our podcast favorite.
Too low.
I think there was a little bit of difficulty translating the effervescence of the video to a live performance.
Oh, yeah.
But it was still a solid show. It was just there were other stronger vocal performances that I think were a little bit more immediate.
Yeah.
And she was performing so early in the running order, too.
She really got screwed
by that's
the,
true.
By
we
the
did say
order.
That she was second right after Australia was in there first. And they liked Australia a little bit better than you guys did, too.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I mean, Australia, he came together rather well. He was very affable and very, very capable on stage. He had a good maturity.
He was also like 2 feet taller than all the other contestants.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
he was
super
like,
amusing.
Was he like 6'2"?
People were saying that he was about 6'2".
He was an early bloomer and yikes, yeah.
Yeah. So he may not have come away with a title, but he did leave with everyone's lunch money.
He was dunking on all the kids.
I will say, I could be here, you know, comparing what we heard on stage, or live, I should say, versus what we heard in the studio tracks that we'd heard earlier. I could tell that Jordan was having, I don't know if his voice was cracking or breaking, because obviously he's at 6'2", I'm assuming he's hit puberty. But you could tell that there are some of those high notes that were giving him some trouble, but he had the presence of mind and the ability vocally. He knew when and how to scale the notes down and adapt to a difficulty.
There were a couple of improvisations, but if you didn't know they were improvisations, you wouldn't have caught that at all.
We were talking about them one of our earlier episodes that this is a little bit dangerous when you're one of the older kids at Eurovision.
And male.
And you're male, that your voice could sound fantastic on the studio track that you recorded 6 months ago, but in 6 months, your voice could start to really change.
Absolutely.
I think that might be what was happening to him.
But honestly, good, you know, more power to him to be able to adapt like that. Because, I mean, he would take what was in the studio version, and again, my voice, I'm not a singer, but he would do, in the studio version, rise, you know, at sort of that high note. But in the live version, you would do something like rise. So that lower root that was so much more suitable for him still sounded great.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, if you didn't know that there was a difference, you wouldn't have noticed.
Mm-hmm.
We just, you know, overanalyze everything.
We sadly have to note that Malta, We Are More, the song that I gave my 12 points at the end of our Junior Eurovision previews, finished last.
Yeah, it's not deserved.
I cannot believe that it scored fewer points than a couple of others, which I think we are going to mention now. Let's talk about the duds. Let's talk about the duds this year. Wales didn't fare too well, but I feel like we saw that coming.
Yeah, we did. I mean, she's kind of, I mean, the performance was fine, the vocals were fine. It just wasn't coming from a place of strength. It's a smaller nation. They aren't going to have the televote.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have the big glory, dramatic notes of a Spain or a Kazakhstan.
Yep, this was it. This was a smaller song. I wish they knew what they were doing, though. Like, it really didn't sound.
But they're
like,
getting there. They're learning.
Yeah.
You know, they came in last place last year. This place, they're, you know, climbing the scoreboard.
Little by little.
So, you know, in 15 years' time, they'll be, you know,
15 years
their
now,
first winner hasn't been born yet, is what you're saying.
That makes me sound a lot cooler than I actually am. Wow. But honestly, I mean, no, the song was fine. It's just there were other stronger, more memorable songs.
Mm-hmm. Down there near the bottom.
Yeah.
Italy as well.
No, Italy actually did pretty well.
Oh, really?
Italy came in seventh place this year, which is pretty solid for a song that a lot of people weren't giving a ton of attention to.
Yeah.
Though I will say, Russia performed less well than we expected.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Russia came in 13th place, which I believe is their lowest result at a junior.
A little undeserving. I liked that one.
Their lowest result at junior ever.
Oof.
That's really surprising, because they sounded good from what I saw. And
the
presentation was pretty cool.
No, and when we were talking about the songs, though, we talked about how you didn't expect them to match up that well, but they really did, at least. That was my opinion, at least. Mm-hmm. Eric, you hated Russia.
I didn't hate it. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it.
So I can only assume that wound up being, like, the majority of people's thing. They were like, sure, but not for me.
I mean, the thing is, with this voting system, when you can vote for 3, 4, or 5 songs at a time, everybody's 6th favorite song isn't going to get any votes.
Uh-huh.
Even though it should, in theory, come in 6th place, but it doesn't with the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about the voting system in just a little bit, but there's a lot to talk about with that voting system.
Portugal was also pretty far down there, too.
Yeah, that was 16th place.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it is not as far down as it should have been, and this I think really ties into the voting system as well. Should we just get into the voting system?
Let's go right
into it. So, Sam, you had mentioned that you can vote for up to 5 songs. No one's 6th favorite song is going to do especially well. The thing that I think I started to realize, and I think this was a big part of why Poland did so insanely well in the televote, or the online vote specifically, is that your number one favorite is getting just as much love as your, like, number 5 favorite or your number 4 favorite. Like, you're not giving any weight to any of these.
Yeah, you're not saying this is my number 1 choice. Mm-hmm. You're just selecting 5 songs to go through, and the ballot doesn't register what your favorite is.
Right. And Poland, it was a definite favorite, and it still feels like a bit of a surprise that it won. And I think there are a couple of reasons for that.
I'm not astounded that it won, but it wouldn't have been my first, second, or third choice.
Right. But say it was a lot of people's 3rd or 4th choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Then it's the same as everyone just picking it first.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, Sam, you had some thoughts on Poland's poll.
Absolutely.
Here.
I mean, looking at the countries that scored the highest in online voting. So keep in mind, anybody could vote anywhere in the world. You know, I voted. I don't know if, you know, Eric, you voted?
I did voted.
Okay, you did vote it.
I did.
So there's no thing like from regular Eurovision where they lock you out. You can't vote for your own country.
Exactly.
You can vote for your own country.
You can vote for your own country. And honestly, many broadcasters were encouraging that you could vote for your own country. Eric and I were watching the show through a Dutch stream. And my Dutch is not great, but I could definitely hear the commentator saying, vote for the Netherlands.
He was fun.
He was great. It was, yeah. especially when those first couple of points came in for the Dutch delegation. He was going nuts. But you look at the countries that have the highest online voting, and number one was Poland, keeping in mind that Poland was the host nation.
Energized by being the hosts.
Massively energized by being the host. Superhero is already a hit on Polish radio, as was Roxy Weigl's song last year. So there is that push going for it as well. Poland is also a relatively large nation in terms of population. And also, Poland was showing Junior Eurovision on their main national television channel. It wasn't shown on, like, a kids' channel or, like, the BBC Three equivalent.
Yeah.
Spain, also, same deal. Larger population. This is second in televote. Massive, massive voting push from the people of Spain. France was third in televote. And you're seeing these larger nations really kind of take a precedence in the online voting. Netherlands was fourth. At the bottom of the televoting, you're seeing Wales at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing Malta. You're seeing Albania. These are nations with smaller representative populations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Smaller people of pool of people who could vote for them.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Well, how does this explain Russia then? Is that just because they just didn't have a bright and shiny song?
Well, Russia was really, they were sunk by the juries. Russia came in 15th with the jury, but with the public televote, they got jumped up to 8th. So there was, you know, a bit of that. There are a lot of variables that go into something like this, but I feel like this system where you can potentially vote for your own country, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not, and it also opens up for weird, like, alliances, things like that. We mentioned that Portugal was fourth from the bottom and had 43 points. All of those came from the televote.
Mm-hmm.
And read a lot of things in the lead up to June Eurovision that I'm using it.
You people at home listening to this can't hear me rolling my eyes.
You people.
June Eurovision.
Yeah, what does that mean? Y'all anyway.
Yeah.
And it's also very weird that they opened up voting a few days before the contest so that people could start their vote.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't click on that link we sent you.
Yeah.
No, they...
Yeah, voting actually started a few days before the competition. You were able to vote using clips of the rehearsals as your reference.
And you had to watch the
full In their video. Defense, you had to watch a video showing all the performances before you could vote. But it's still a little bit weird.
That's a little bit better, but at the same time, it strikes me as that would be useful for people who are, like, on the go and don't have time to vote. But what kid, what a little European child. Oh, I need to be on the go. I'm busy on Sunday night.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
I got my karate lessons.
Yeah. And once that started, what I heard in a few different places in, like, Reddit and social media and so on, was that there was some degree of coordinated effort to push Spain by telling people, vote only for Spain and then, like, Portugal and Wales, countries that aren't going to be in contention.
Don't help the competitive countries.
Right,
is what they were looking at.
So, like, Portugal got 43 points from
the
public televote. I don't think a lot of those are because people liked the song. I think it's because of these sorts of campaigns. And obviously it didn't fully work out because Spain didn't quite get there. Some of that was the jury.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised that the jury wasn't as high on Spain as I would have thought.
Well, I mean, I think that Kazakhstan checked a lot of the boxes that Spain also would have checked with a, you know, massive vocals and incredible presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But, like, this is such a mess. It's such an obviously flawed system, and I don't really see the advantages of it at all.
Yeah, other than, I mean, I like the idea of having an online-based vote, but there's got to be a better way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the voting in advance is just mind-boggling to me. That's just half of it. Like, I understand with the video clips and everything, but it just seems so strange.
Yeah.
An absentee ballot, but even just, like, really half-assed. You're watching the rehearsals. You're not even watching, like, the official clips that they put on YouTube. You're not watching the performances. It seems odd.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Yeah. I mean, it's also very, very difficult to gauge a performance in an empty arena.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so much of what makes a song special at Eurovision is watching the crowd react and hearing the roar and hearing, you know, watching people raise their phones up and you know, with their lights, what a lighter would have been to
your grandfather
for 2019. Yeah.
to our parents' generation, you know. But artists pick up so much energy from that audience, and just to be watching a quick clip, like a 20-second clip, completely bereft of that energy. It's tough. It's really tough. And I don't quite get how this is considered an even playing field.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
I mean, it's not.
It's not. It's absolutely,
absolutely
not.
Isn't. Well, they have the jury. And how is the jury formed? Is it formed roughly the same way that Eurovision is?
Kind of, sort of. It's 5 members, which honestly I personally think is too small. But
same. Yeah.
That's preposterous.
But at
feel
least,
like it should be 10.
At the very least. Yeah, I agree. But at the very least, the jury, they do make a split. I can't remember if it's 2 and 3 or 3 and 2, adults and kids. So they do have both adults and kids on each one of these juries.
Okay.
So, you know, at least it's not, you're not getting 5 75-year-old dudes.
gauging that would be so doing. Weird.
I
oh my
know,
God.
I know.
Instead, it's just 3.
That's much better.
But yeah, so that's how that works. So, I mean, they're definitely ways to improve this. It's just, we're talking theoretical. I don't know how the mechanics work, but
we've talked so much about Eurovision as a whole mm-hmm. and its voting issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they can't use the same voting system that they do for Eurovision, mm. which I like, which I think is fine,
mm-hmm.
a nice weighted combination of jury and televote. I don't know why they can't apply that same system to junior.
I mean, my thought is that oftentimes things that start off at junior end up transferring to senior, that junior is often sort of a testing ground for a lot of things that are pushed to senior.
Have they done this?
It's like the Arizona Fall League.
I see, yes.
It's a sports reference. It's baseball.
I am aware of the shooty hoops and okay. the sticky balls. But have they used this in advance internet televoting thing before? Have they done that before this year for junior?
They've done it the last 3 years. This is their 3rd year doing it.
Okay.
Last year Poland also had won. The year before that Russia had taken the win.
All right, junior. There's no excuse. All right.
So none of these are bad songs. I mean, I'm not saying that none of these songs didn't deserve a win, but the fact that we're having these conversations to be almost kind of taints the win a little bit. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was still a solid. It feels like a worthy winner, but
it's a fine
yeah.
winner. But it's sort of like the fact that we're having these discussions and asterisks and
mm-hmm.
would it have won in this system versus that system? And you want the best song to be the best song.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but by whose standard?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
By Poland standard,
yeah.
I think is what. What it ended up being.
But I will
I'm
say there
three.
Is...
I would see 3 in a row.
Who knows? But I will say the winner, forget about what the scoreboard says,
mm-hmm.
the true, true champion is the meme queen herself.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes.
I can't believe we haven't talked about her yet.
We've been saving the best for last-ish.
She really is the best.
She's the best.
Rising star of this year's junior competition has to be Mila Muska from North Macedonia.
Mm-hmm.
Fire was her song, taking it to 6th place, which for North Macedonia at the contest is, I believe, their 2nd best result ever?
They're killing it lately in the Eurovision field.
Yep, third best result. So they've had two fifth place placements. And now this. But they haven't come this high since 2007, 2008. So, well-deserved. Mila Moskov herself, she is just a badass.
She's a firecracker.
She's a firecracker.
Like, she's got the fire. The song is true.
Yeah, yeah. Fuego. She's got it. Mm-hmm. She rose like a phoenix. And, I mean, we'll kind of rewind this a little bit. Okay, so if you saw the actual performance itself at Junior, she was very static, her just standing on stage and a microphone. What we didn't know until I've kind of been listening to some of the behind-the-scenes work from my friends at ESC Insight. Hello to Ewan and everybody at Insight.
Hey, everyone.
Friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
What actually happened was she had originally planned on having a much more involved choreography. There was dancing and slipping and sliding and
pyrotechnics.
Fuego and all that good stuff. And she messed up a tendon in her knee in the last week of rehearsals before flying out to Poland.
No.
So if you watch the pictures of her at the opening ceremony, her knee's in a brace. She's walking on it, but it's braced. So they had to switch everything to her static on stage, which to be professional and hold yourself together when you're in pain, to be able to adapt like that, more power to her. And Eric, tell me about what you felt when you were watching Mila do her thing, because I'm just talking so much now.
She had the fire.
Oh. He says she, a thing.
Yeah. She was clearly having so much fun. And it's not like the other kids weren't having fun, but I don't know. There was something different. There was an energy. There was a moment where she's singing and like in the half second from one line to the next, she is putting her microphone onto the mic stand and is having difficulty doing so. And then it finally clicks like really, really quickly. And right between lines, she just throws her arms up like, okay, whatever.
in the look that only a 14-year-old girl can do.
She's like, I guess it works now.
Yeah,
sure.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Fine.
It was amazing. It was amazing. It was just this great little bit of levity. Not that it needed a bit of levity, but...
She's real.
We've talked about authenticity. This is a whole other level of authenticity. I'm going to give a shout-out to the Eurovision subreddit that likes to... meme various things related to Eurovision, and I will admit I don't know the context of this, but apparently at some point, like early in the week leading up to the show, she was asked a question about, again, I don't know, but they keep posting it as like a reaction image sort of a thing. And apparently, in regards to whatever she was asked, she said, "I'm going to be very brutally honest. I did not like it." They might have asked about Zena, Belarus, I don't know.
We don't know.
I'll be saving that.
Not sure.
Is this like a
GIF?
We'll
look into that.
Is this like...
No, it's just a, like a couple of... Here, I'm showing everyone the thing right now.
Yeah. I'm going to save that onto my phone so I can now insert that into whatever messenger group I'm in. Yeah.
This is
I'm going to be brutally honest, I did not like it.
This is the new thanks, I hate it.
Yes.
Yeah, she was so much fun, and I am really hopeful that maybe in a few years...
She will
turn up
at Eurovision.
At senior.
At regular Eurovision with an absolute bop. I want that to happen very, very much.
Just putting that out into the universe. Yeah. Mila Moskov.
Mila, be a friend of the show. Regular Eurovision 2022 or 3, whatever.
We love it. We love her.
I'm going to be very brutally honest. I did like it.
Aww. As I was talking about a little bit before, sometimes Junior Eurovision can kind of be seen as a sort of testing ground, proving ground for things that we see at the big competition. Mm-hmm. In now just under 6 months' time. One of the things that... I'm kind of getting this information secondhand. Obviously, I wasn't out there. That this year at Junior Eurovision, they completely closed off the first round of rehearsals. Normally at Senior Eurovision, now they will not allow press into the arena for the first round of rehearsals, but they will still be able to see and witness rehearsals through screens and audio within the press center. This year at Junior Eurovision, they completely closed off the first rehearsals and only let out a couple of small clips from the official Eurovision or Junior Eurovision channels and a couple of pictures. What do you guys think? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing?
That's the way to go.
I mean, yeah, this is great. First rehearsal, it's the first time on the stage, and there are going to be things that need to be ironed out pretty much universally. And if you put those first rehearsals out into the world...
It's mind-boggling to me that was like a thing that they would regularly do. That you'd be able to watch that and report on it. It's unfair to report on that because this is... Some people have come all the way from Portugal. Some people have come all the way from the middle of Russia. Like, this is... It's nuts to present that as any gauge, as any vector of what the final product is going to be when they're just putting it on a stage and trying to work it the first time.
Right.
And, like, if you do put it out there, that is what they're basically trying
to
do.
Yeah, that's what people are going
to
start reporting on. That's what people are going to be talking about first.
Like, oh, trouble in Germany or whatever.
Bad example.
But that's, I mean, I'll jump in here and say this. Having gone to Senior Eurovision, they always show the first rehearsals. You can't go into the stadium and watch them. During second rehearsals, you can.
Mm-hmm.
During first rehearsals, you just have to watch them on the TV from the press room. And people will watch all the first rehearsals, record podcasts, write articles, do live streams, and basically judge them as the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the news that'll come out of those first few days of rehearsals is like, this is a mess. This is terrible. This person doesn't know what they're doing. This person sounds like garbage.
I
think it's really unfair.
I agree.
Because they're figuring it out. They've never been on the stage before. They've traveled a long ways. They're kind of getting their bearings. Like, for example, I mentioned earlier, like Sergei Lazarov in 2016,
mm-hmm.
his first couple of rehearsals were a mess. He was you know, amazing act of physicality climbing up this
wall.
Screen
yeah.
thing.
I've seen it from different angles, and I still don't know how he did it. It's
but
crazy.
The first couple times he did it, you could tell he was exhausted climbing up this thing over and over again. And he was, like, sweating, and he was red, and at one point he just fell off. And people were like, this is a disaster. This isn't going to do well at all. But by the end of it, you know, he figured it out, and he did great. And he won the televote.
Right. I mean, luckily, I feel like when I'm talking with the folks over at Insight, for example, we have the perspective of saying, all right, this is just a jumping off point. This is the first set of rehearsals. People are just getting used to the stage. They're getting used to the earpieces. They're getting used to wearing the costumes, the lights, this and that. And it's a jumping off point. We're not necessarily reporting on the quality unless it's truly abysmal.
You get an inkling sometimes.
Yeah, but, you know, we know that things are going to change. We know that, you know, especially you and I, Derek, having been parts of delegations before, where we've seen behind the scenes how things can change.
Yeah.
You know, we understand that there's that flexibility and that a rehearsal is just that. It's a rehearsal. So I think that there's a lot of hysteria that goes on when people see something that isn't 100% polished nearly 2 weeks before a show goes to air. And they aren't necessarily cognizant of how a thing can develop and can change before it's seen on a jury final or a televote. So,
I mean, that's kind of a consequence of the news cycle is they need to be on top of things and they need to have a story and a reaction.
Absolutely.
And it you do kind of lose sight of that this is practice. They're not,
right.
This isn't the finished product.
Right, exactly. I mean, they shouldn't be going at 100% full force vocally.
And I think to a certain extent, at least for Junior, we shouldn't see the first rehearsals.
Especially at Junior.
Yeah.
Especially at Junior. I was going to get back to that.
I personally would argue we shouldn't see it at Senior either. Or
no,
limited,
I don't think so either.
Maybe like a summary or some kind of like clips we could just kind of show.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, we get a sense of what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should watch every single rehearsal for solid 30, 40 minutes of them up on stage practicing.
Right. And also for purely selfish reasons, you know, those of us in the press generally get there 2 weeks in advance of the final. If we don't have anything going on and anything being shown those first 2 weeks,
Chocomel.
We
can go back to Amsterdam and do Amsterdam stuff.
Okay.
Yeah,
Eric has rolled up his sleeve and is currently rubbing his veins.
Yeah.
Just a little.
All right, put your belt back on.
The one innovation from Junior Eurovision, at least this year or recently, that goes through to standard Eurovision, I'd be pleased as punch.
As would I. You know, I would miss being able to see the evolution and the change, but I could totally leave that on the table if necessary.
There are some things that just... For the purposes of a theatrical performance or a musical performance, the making of the sausage really shouldn't be something that you should judge it by.
Yeah, and Danny, you as somebody who is deeply involved in theater, you know, this is something that hits home for you.
Yes.
I mean, you don't necessarily want, you know, the press, you know, your local theater critics coming in and judging, you know, the week before your tech rehearsal.
No, yeah. Oh, gosh. No, no, you don't, because no one has their lines even before tech. But that week leading up to previews and opening night it's hell. It's unbelievable. It's a lot of the times things aren't set until preview night, and even after preview night, things change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the final product looks nothing like it's supposed to, even a week beforehand. So it's just odd to think that reporters and delegations being able to watch the first rehearsal there in the space is wild and should not happen.
I think we're generally in agreement with a lot of the consensus from a lot of the other members of the press that I've been kind of in touch with recently.
Mm-hmm.
We're basically just throwing extra sprinkles on top of something that's already 85,000 calories. We don't need that extra level of knowledge. I mean, it's fun to know. I'm the kind of person who likes to have that information, not necessarily from a critical standpoint, but more just because I'm at Eurovision. I like to see everything.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But
then let the delegations decide what they want to put out at that stage.
That's the way to do it. And if
it's nothing, fine. If it's, hey, here's what we're working on, then that's super cool. Maybe somebody wants to generate a little bit of buzz because they're feeling good about it.
Yeah.
You know, then let them make that decision and put it in the hands of the artists and the delegations and not in the hands of the
press.
Yes. Press, which, you know, most
the
of us
lying
are
media.
That time, especially at Junior Eurovision, ought to be for the artists.
Let me ask you this. I'm just sort of curious. Would there be like a middle ground somewhere where they could give us something? So we're not sitting there for the first 3 or 4 days with nothing to talk about.
Rehearsal clips? Like, clips would be good. What about,
yeah. I'm kind of curious. Like, I don't think we should hear them singing. Like, I think that's something that should be protected.
Maybe, like, a tease of the visuals or something. That would always like be watching.
So just photographs, maybe?
Which
photographs,
is something that
or watching it muted, maybe?
Which is which something that Junior...
watching it muted
the
might
first...
be a little...
Well, the first day...
I mean, the movement might be off, but, like, you could get a sense, like, visually, like, I know what the song sounds like. I've been listening to it the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see the person, like, moving around on stage, like, okay, I know. I get an idea what this is going to be like.
And it's funny that you say that, because I feel like every single first day of first rehearsals at almost every single Eurovision that I've been to, the audio never works correctly. So the first couple of days of rehearsals... we have no idea what anything sounds like. Like the first couple of rounds. This year, the first time that we actually were able to hear an act practicing was the Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So the first thing that we hear is the guy from Lake Malawi going, "Can you hear it?" And everybody in the room just going, "Yay!"
That's amazing.
It was perfect.
They just like they drew it up, I'm sure.
I know. All right. So it sounds like we've got a lot to talk about, even just from what we've seen this past Sunday, tossing it forward to what we'll see at Junior Eurovision 2020, at location to be determined. I think Poland's going to bid for it again.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I think that the Kazakhs are chomping at the bit to host it. I know that Spain were absolutely ready to host it if they'd won. We'll see if it's back in Poland, and if so, what city it'll be, or if it'll be somewhere completely different.
Almaty.
Hey.
Let's do it.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
Warsaw.
I still say party for everybody in Gdansk.
Gdansk.
Come on, and Gdansk.
Gdansk is dead to me.
Boom, all right, boom. I'm done.
All right, folks.
Oh, I have several more jokes. Number one. See? No, never mind. It's fine.
All right, if you want to yell at our jokes and our terrible puns, and also just to weigh in on what you think about this this monkey business with the closed first rehearsals, pro, con, let us know what you think. Again, hit us up on either Twitter or Facebook at 12pointsUSA. Email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Check out our website, so 12pointsfromamerica.com.
The possibly brand new 12pointsfromamerica.com.
Ooh.
It's coming.
Still has that new website smell.
It does. It's a little grody. But it's okay. It'll be fine.
By the time
you check out the website, it'll be fine. Right. Also, tell us why you hate the Junior Eurovision scoring system.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, consider this your venting space.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to just rail.
We're here for you.
We're here for you.
We're the podcast that cares.
I say we wrap this up, gentlemen. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
All right. Until the next time, folks. America,
stop listening now.
I still don't. It eludes me every time. There's like one of those in there. Yeah, it's good.